Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint with Tim in Billings in the house. We got a message from Menace from Ennis we'll get to. But since we take calls first, we're going to go to Clint in Bozeman. Clint, thanks for calling in.
Well, it sounds to me like that I know this guy that went to the same school I did.
What's that?
Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Heck yeah. Manhattan, yeah. Manhattan High.
That's right. Well, I got to ask everybody out there in Radio Land a big question. Every time our legislature meets, it adds a little more to the legislative books, okay? And they're 22 inches high if you stack them up on one on top of the other. And my question is this. How long can we continue to build these books up until we completely rule and regulate ourselves to where we can't do nothing without breaking the law?
We're pretty much already there, kind of.
I've been to the legislature in my 90 years of living many, many times and spoke there at the legislature in various different committees. And I've always wondered, how long can we continue to legislate until we legislate ourselves to death? I mean, rule and regulate us to where we can't even squeak. How long can I? I'm asking the public out there, all these smart people that call in. I'm not so smart myself, but I want them to answer that question.
Great question. You know? Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great. If anybody knows the answer, please call in. I think it's a great question from Clint. I certainly don't know the answer. I sort of feel like we're kind of already there. I mean, so after the show Friday, I saw a news story about how the 2025 Montana legislature passed a new car seat regs for kids in cars and these new sort of strict rules on what kind of car seats you can have for this kid or that kid. And it's just like, why? Why? And these politicians, they go up there and they think it's their job just to pass bills.
Well, I don't need a nanny, and I don't need the nanny state. I'm an adult. I'll make the best choices that I can, that I feel necessary for the well-being of my family. This goes back to the free market. If you have a better product, people will buy it. People will buy what they can afford. People will buy what they think is necessary. Chances are, I probably broke some law or regulation driving into the show today, just because there's so many laws. When you flood the citizenry with so many laws, then how do they know if they're following all the laws? I mean, you can do the best you can, and you probably broke some law just crossing the street. And so then you have the opportunity to prosecute and punish the people who break these laws that they may be ignorant of. And they'll tell you, ignorance is not a reason why you should be able to break a law.
Right.
When you don't even know what the laws are, because like Clint said, they stack them 21 inches high at a time every session, how would you even know what all the laws are?
It's impossible to know. And in fact, they've done studies on like federal crimes, and they cannot figure out how many federal crimes there are because there's just so many of them, and it's so confusing, and there's so many cross-references and all these different things. And it's at the state level, too. I remember learning in law school that basically, if a cop follows you long enough, he'll be able to pull you over. That's not okay, I don't think.
It's June 9th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Donald Duck Day. On this day in 1934, the lovable duck, dressed in a sailor suit with a cap and bow tie, along with a very short temper, made his screen debut in The Wise Little Hen. He has appeared in more films than any other Disney character. His middle name is Fauntleroy, meaning child king, and derived from Old French. Also on this day in 1973, Secretariat wins the Triple Crown in breathtaking style, completing the mile-and-a-half race in a record 2 minutes, 24 seconds, shaving 3 seconds off the track record set in 1957, sending Big Red into immortality. Secretariat crossed the finish line 31 lengths ahead of the field. Born on this day in 1961, actor Michael J. Fox of Back to the Future fame.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jelly heads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got a message here on the Montana Talks from Menace from Ennis. He says, more that Northwestern jacks their rates, the less customers they will have. They are making it easier for people to go off-grid. Off-grid systems are becoming more popular because it's so expensive to get power from utilities. Even industry has become a self-providing utility. Micro-nuclear is feasible because the rates for industrial electric are higher than building your own power plant. Well said, Menace from Menace. I think that's exactly right.
Absolutely. You know, there was a guest on here a couple of years ago, and she was worked for a nuclear company, and I follow her on LinkedIn. And one of the things about these new style micro nuclear facilities that they're developing, and the new reactors that they're developing, the most exciting thing about that is that these will be regulated as a particle accelerator rather than a nuclear facility. So the regulation regulatory environment for them is extremely more lenient, and they're able to develop that much faster because they're not being regulated as aggressively. You know, it used to take 30 years to even break ground on a nuclear facility, and now they can do it in a matter of 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think that's great stuff. The other, by the way, I do have some Montana specific stories I'm probably going to get to during the 9 o'clock hour, including over the weekend. There was a debate about how much the budget actually increased. Kendall Cotton put out a great piece on property taxes. We've got updates on Flathead Lakes water situation. We've got a bunch of stuff from about the Bull Mountain mines. We've got statements from Sheehy and Downing, and then I've got some specific global warming stories. But the other kind of big thing in the news right now is Donald Trump put in a travel ban on 12 different countries. Did you hear about that one, Tim?
I did.
Apparently that goes into effect this morning. And the media is all worried because banning people from coming from places like, you know, Afghanistan and Yemen is apparently going to result in understaffed restaurants around the U.S. and potentially soccer fans who aren't going to be able to come to this summer's World Cup or next year's FIFA World Cup. So I'm just sort of wondering, like, who are these people from, like, you know, Yemen and, you know, Iran and whatever these other countries are that are going to be working in our restaurants are coming to the World Cup?
Well, I don't know that they would be working in our restaurants if they're coming here for the World Cup. If they're coming here for the World Cup, they're probably very affluent considering wherever they're from, you know, because traveling abroad for a sports activity isn't cheap. And so I highly doubt they're going to be working in McDonald's. They're not going to be going and working for Zantara Services in Yellowstone Park. They're probably staying at some five-star high-rise, you know, hotel and eating at very expensive, you know, eateries wherever they're going. So I don't think we need to worry about those two demographics being a cross section of who's working at McDonald's.
Right. It's ridiculous. I mean, here's the list of countries that has a quote-unquote travel ban, and that's just the media's reporting. Who knows if it's even a quote-unquote travel ban? But the countries are Afghanistan, Myanmar, Chad, Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. And it's just like, yeah, the types of people that would come to the United States from places like Somalia or Sudan or Libya are going to be the elites from those countries, right?
Absolutely. Now that they're probably much better off than I am, you know, that because they probably have managed to take whatever, you know, aid that the United States has sent to their country and funnel it through whatever they need to get rich off of the American taxpayer, because that's how it seems like all these foreign people get rich. But they're obviously well-to-do wherever they're coming from. If they're traveling for the World Cup, they're obviously well-to-do.
Obviously. Hey, let's go to Francis and Big Fork. Francis, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
What you got for us?
Oh, me? Okay. I was just saying that what do you think of these riots in Los Angeles?
That's terrible.
Yeah, it is. And the dumb old Waters, she's out there trying to rile them up again.
Yes, she is. Yep, Maxine Waters, yep.
Yeah, she's not so good.
No, we had a call earlier, Francis, from Kat basically saying Kat was a little bit disappointed that Trump hasn't been more aggressive in sending in the National Guard or the Marines or whoever to sort of take these folks out. Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, I think, like last time, they just trashed him. Now they're going to sue him for doing his job. And I don't know who's suing. I guess it's Newton, the state of California. They want to keep their garbage.
They do.
They're nuts. I'm sorry to say, but that's what they act like. They have no brains left in their heads. People in California. No,
well,
there's
said.
A lot of good people. But I know. But the ones that they vote them in are these dum-dums, and all the rest got to suffer for it.
That's right. Well said. I'm hearing the music, Francis, so we're going to go to a break. Thanks so much for the call, Francis. Always enjoy hearing from you. Well said. My idea was to have, why don't we just have the FBI? We don't have to send in the troops. You don't have to arrest Gavin Newsom. Just send in the FBI to arrest all of the criminals that are out there rioting.
Yeah, I think that would probably work. They may get overwhelmed, though, because there's a lot of...
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story of economic growth in communities and regions around Montana goes on, even if very little attention is paid to it. Short of the occasional bad news story about a closure or shutdown, news on the economy of the state is hard to find. Let's fill that void a little bit with a mid-year assessment of how we're doing. Most of us know that Bozeman and Gallatin Valley are pacing growth, but the degree to which that economy is leaving the rest of the state behind is still stunning. Since 2018, the state economy has grown by about 28%, a great performance. Gallatin County's growth is more than double that, over 60%. It might be more surprising to hear that growth in Missoula and Helena are practically equal, right at the state average. With Missoula suffering two separate wood products closures, its continued growth is a pleasant surprise. Two cities that have not kept up with the state average are Billings and Great Falls for a variety of reasons. Visit our webpage to see more. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
The week ahead.
Monday, techies will be turning their attention to Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference. The multi-day event is expected to unveil a number of software updates and showcases new features across a number of Apple products. Wednesday, lawmakers play ball. The annual congressional baseball game raises funds for D.C. charities. The GOP is the defending champion. You can catch the bipartisan action on FS1. Also, New Jersey Congresswoman LaMonica McIver has a preliminary hearing connected to her arrest at an ICE facility in Newark last month. Thursday, The governors of Illinois, New York, and Minnesota will be on Capitol Hill testifying before the House Oversight Committee on sanctuary policies in their state. Saturday, in celebration of the 250th anniversary of the Army, a large military parade will take over the streets of our nation's capital. The parade coincides with Flag Day and President Trump's 79th birthday. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and Tim in Billings taking your phone calls here all hour long, 406-294-0970. So Tim, we were talking a little bit there right before the break about how, like, I think the Trump administration has a number of options with these L.A. riots. Number one, they could send in the National Guard. They could invoke the Insurrection Act. I'm not sure what the standard is for the president to invoke the Insurrection Act or just to send in the National Guard without invoking the Insurrection Act. But you brought up a point from history about who was it that the last time we saw this happen, or at least certainly was a big issue?
Governor George Wallace, who did not want to integrate the schools with the African-American population and the Caucasian population, and he went and he stood on the steps of a university or a high school, I can't remember which, and the National Guard showed up, and they, he did his protest, and the National Guard showed up, and the students were let in and allowed to attend school. Now, that's the governor of the state. That's the executive. That's the head executive of that state, and I want to say it was Alabama, and
Democrat,
yeah.
Why is it always the Democrats that are violating federal law and having to have the National Guard called in?
The party of the KKK. And he opposed this. The National Guard doesn't get called in by the governor who's opposing this to come in and remove him by himself. So the president at the time has the National Guard go and remove him and stop that protest. And so I think that Gavin Newsom's out there saying that it would be illegal for President Trump to send the National Guard in. Obviously, there's a precedent in history where that is not the case, and so Gavin Newsom is just gaslighting the people, and the media is running with it because they're the lapdogs of the left, and they will do whatever they're told. They're the PR firm for the communists and the Marxists.
Yeah, but so when Kat called in, though, you kind of pushed back and said, no, we don't want the president to do that. Now you're saying there's precedent for it. It's consistent.
I think what concerns me is the escalation of violence by Americans on Americans. And I think that if you are going to use those mechanisms, use those provisions, you have to be consistent. We have to look at history, look at how they were used. Is the United States perfect in everything they've ever done? Absolutely not. Have we done a lot of great things? Absolutely. Can we look back into history and see what worked well, what didn't work well? And I think, honestly, one of the biggest issues that President Trump is dealing with on this is the optics. And it's just, we were also talking about during the break, and I said, coincidentally, there were no riots like this under the Biden administration. They went all through the first Trump term.
Right. 2020 was the summer of love. And right. 2020. But you're right. Then 21, 22, 23, 24, nothing.
Not a thing. Not a peep. Not a squeak. Antifa went on vacation. And, now they're back in full force, almost like, the people who are paying the bills for them decided, well, time to ratchet it up because the guy we don't like is in office. And like I said before, when these people tell you things, you should believe them. And when FDR says there's no such thing as a coincidence in government, believe them. There's no such thing as a coincidence.
Right, right. No, that's a great point. Donald Trump was on Air Force One this weekend and getting asked about Elon Musk constantly by the media. And he said, look, I'm too busy dealing with China and Russia and all of these types of things. Today in London, there's going to be negotiations with the top negotiators from the U.S. and China, the latest round of trade talks. They're talking about not necessarily tariffs, but I guess more export controls. The Americans are trying to gain access to rare earth minerals. And then Beijing is wanting to get access to American jet engine and other technology.
Wow, what could go wrong there?
Well, they've already stolen. I mean, hasn't China already stolen all of our jet engine technology? I mean, did you see the latest? If you go, folks, this is something you can do to just kind of see how big of thieves the Chinese communists are. Go out and take a look at the F-35, the American-made F-35 fighter jet. And then Google what is China's latest jet fighter. And boy, it really sure looks a whole lot like the F-35.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like somebody in our government that probably immigrated here or is a foreign national may have sent those plans straight to their relatives in China. And believe me, if you were allowed to leave China, that's because you work for the CCP. They didn't say, oh, you don't like it here? Go ahead, go to the United States. They are foreign agents. There's no question about it. Or you know, the University of Michigan, the professor. Let's bring in some fungus that was very detrimental to all of the grains and wheats that we grow in the United States. But then they could eradicate the fungus if they were to kill off everybody in the United States by starving us out. Guess what they could do? They could come back in, they could eradicate the fungus, they could replant and have all of our, you know, agricultural resources at their disposal.
Yeah, that news story about that fungus was the guy got arrested for it, and it was two of them, got smuggling that in from China. That was a horrible deal. Let's go to Mike in Big Timber. Mike, thanks for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. The question I have is, we here in Montana, if I'm not mistaken, passed a law that the Chinese cannot buy land here in Montana, especially around military installations. But that story that broke, that the governor of Arizona vetoed a bill that would basically do the same thing there in Arizona. Can the Arizona legislature override that veto?
That's a great question. I would assume so. You'd have to look at their constitution, and I have no idea if the Arizona legislature has the votes to override it, even if they can. But that's a good point to bring up, Mike and Victor, because that kind of just showed all the cards of the left when she did that, don't you think?
She's a horrible person. Her name is Katie Hobbs. She was elected initially as governor. I believe Carrie Lake ran against her. She was elected as governor under very, you know, questionable circumstances. Carrie Lake ran for, it was governor to begin with. When she was reelected, she was also their secretary of state. So she was in charge of recounts, election integrity, and there was questions about her validity of her election. And, of course, when you have the inmates running the asylum, you know, you're going to have insanity. But she's just, like, the worst governor probably in the United States, and I think it's 22 states have not banned it's either 22 that have or 22 that have not banned the Chinese government from owning property in the United States. Do you think you and I could go to China and buy a little plot of land?
Absolutely.
Let's go grow some rice, you know?
Absolutely. Nobody can own private. People think China is capitalist now. It's not. All the land in China is owned by the government. You can get 99-year leases, I think, if you're Chinese. That's it.
I think to allow any foreign country to buy any property in the United States is abhorrent to the Constitution.
Mike, did you have anything else to add there?
Well, the problem is there's two critical Air Force bases there in Arizona, Luke at Phoenix and Davis-Monthan in Tucson area, and I don't know what other installations, there's probably others, but how ridiculous can a governor be to allow the Chinese to buy anything in Arizona? Pretty soon they'll take over the Grand Canyon, for crying out loud. That's just a big hole in the ground.
Right. No, I think it's a good point. I wonder if the feds are going to do anything about that, because I'm assuming the federal government could definitely step in and put a rule in place like that, especially around the military bases.
I saw some sort of committee hearing in the House, and there was a representative asking some whatever subject matter expert was they were talking to, and he asked them, what would prevent China or any other foreign adversary from buying property that's adjacent to a military installation and then flooding that airbase or that military installation with drones, much like we just saw Ukraine due to the USSR. It's not like they have to smuggle in an entire aircraft carrier. They could go buy $100 drones all day long and affix explosives to them, and you know, they could devastate the you know, the ability to respond by our government. It's just, it is just absolute insanity to let anybody that is not a U.S. citizen purchase property in the United States.
Yep. Mike, did you still have anything to say there? I guess not. That's good. Mike, thank you so much for the call. Really, really appreciate the call. Good point. Yeah, you know, did you see the story about Ukraine and Zelensky complaining because Donald Trump actually diverted anti-drone missiles from going to Ukraine to instead go to U.S. troops? Did you see that story?
I did not see that, but anytime I hear about Zelensky, it just makes my skin crawl because he's a little cross-dressing, prancing, dancing cocaine addict that got elected by... He's an actor in a sitcom variety show that they propped up. I mean, talk about Wag the Dog over there. And it's just such a joke. And I got to tell you, Lindsey Graham and Dick Blumenthal need to be brought up in charges for being foreign agents. If they're going to go over there and they're going to lobby Ukraine and they're going to promise them that we're going to do this, that, and the other, which is completely contradictory to what the administration is telling them, they need to come up on charges under the Logan Act.
Right? There you go. There you go. I can't seem to find the story in front of me. Maybe I just saw it and I didn't print it. But yeah, there is a story out there about how Donald Trump, there was like 20,000, I think the number is like 20,000 anti-drone missiles that were headed to Ukraine, and Trump's diverted those to go to U.S. forces. And it's like, good. Like, right. just like you're talking about. China could send up drones from some of these places that they've purchased. And I just recently saw a map as well on social media that it was basically a map of the U.S., and it showed all of the different purchases of land by Chinese Communist Party-affiliated entities, and it was significant.
And who controls those states?
Democrats, most of them.
Absolutely. It's almost like they're working hand in glove.
Yeah. How disturbing is that? And then, of course, we all know what Bill Clinton did with the Chinese as well. And, of course, you know, you go back and it was Richard Nixon that opened us up to China. So yet again, I think with the deficit and the debt and our policy towards China, Donald Trump's really the first one to have gotten China right, I think, in a very, very long time. So kudos for Trump. He's finally getting our China policy right.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Open phones, 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. Before Tim and Billings had come in to join us there, we had started listening to some of Senator Rand Paul's statements from over the weekend, which I found quite enlightening. Let's see if we can do this again.
The example of the explosion of debt is awful and not to be commended. We should be giving them very limited tranches of debt expansion and make them prove to us that they are good with money. But by no means should we give them $5 trillion and say, oh, just keep doing what you're doing. They have a terrible record, so they need more restraint and more oversight, not less.
I understand, but the debt limit date is coming. The X date is when the government runs out of money. As soon as the markets figure this out and start reacting to it, you're going to have a spiral of a decline in the valuations, and that's going to make things even worse. How far are you willing to take this? Are you saying you will not raise the debt ceiling under any circumstances?
Well, just 2 weeks ago, I offered to raise it for 3 months, and I introduced this as an amendment. So I would raise it about every 3 months. I would never default, and I'm not arguing for default, and I'm not arguing for anything that will roil the markets. I offered to raise it $500 billion. But the American people need to know that $500 billion is 3 months' worth of borrowing. This is literally out of control. And then I'd come back in 3 months, and that'll be about the time that the government spending will end. We'll have the song and dance about a shutdown of government. There'll be another big omnibus, and I will say, once again, I'm not giving you $1 trillion. I'm not giving you $5 trillion. I'll give you 3 more months, but you have to behave. You have to restrain spending. And they're not doing it. And if they're asking to borrow $5 trillion, that is the example. $5 trillion in borrowing means they are not restraining spending. That's the ultimate summation of all these numbers, is what will the deficit be next year? If it's going to be over $2 trillion next year, none of this is meaningful.
Well, I mean, look, it's supposed to be, according to the expectations from the CBO, $22 trillion 10-year deficit. That's $2.2 trillion a year. And up to $59 trillion in overall debt by 2035. We're showing a chart that Ron Johnson sent us in terms of the amount of money that was spent during COVID. And that's part of the issue here, because Joe Biden went overboard and sent too much money to Americans to help them after COVID. What's the amount of money that you would like to see cut to get us back to pre-pandemic spending? How much?
We have to have less spending next year than we had last year. If you have more spending, you're going to have a bigger deficit. But think about it this way. Who caused the deficit? Well, the first Trump administration passed out $2,500 checks to everybody. We shut the entire economy down. During the first Trump administration, $8 trillion in debt was added. During the Biden administration, $8 trillion in debt was added. This is a bipartisan problem. Both parties have done an abysmal, at trying to control the debt. So the real question is, will the debt be bigger next year or smaller?
Okay.
Will the spending be bigger or smaller? Right now, spending is going up next year.
Senator, we both know that the majority of the spending is from the entitlement programs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, 76% of the spending in the budget coming from there. Are you saying you want to cut into those programs?
What I've proposed every year for the last 10 years is a penny plan budget, and it cuts a little bit of everything. But by cutting a little bit of everything, you don't have to cut as much of specific things. So initially, 5, 6, 7 years ago, we could cut 1% of everything, all entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, in real numbers. You would spend 1% less than you spent this year, and you could balance in 5 years. But when the pandemic spending came, when they shut down the economy and gave everybody free checks, now at these levels, it takes about a 6% cut each year for 5 years. Across the board works, but if you take Social Security, Medicare, and most of Medicaid off the table, you really don't change things materially. So if the deficit's going to be $2.2 trillion every year for the next 10 years, and you cut $150 billion a year, which is what the big, beautiful bill is going to do, you still have over $2 trillion a year. You're still adding $20 trillion over 10 years. It's unsustainable.
Understood.
And someone has to say enough's enough.
Senator, there are people who are questioning why you would not support a bill that puts more money into border security, particularly at this moment in time when we see what's going on in Los Angeles this morning. We have some pictures of the violence in L.A. The president had to send the National Guard to Los Angeles. Are you suggesting that the money being spent on the border is too excessive?
What I'm suggesting is that we can add some money to the border, but what they're asking for is excessive. And I'll give you an example. For the fence, they want $46.5 billion. Well, I did the math on this. The current rate, according to the Border Patrol, is $6.5 million per mile. That would be $6.5 billion for 1,000 miles. Nobody's really estimating there's more than 1,000 miles that could be fenced at this point. So that's $6.5 billion versus $46.5. Where's all the money going? I've asked the Trump administration, where's all the money going? As far as hiring new people, I would hire some new people. I would give some bonuses. I'd probably do half as much as what they're asking for, because the border is largely controlled right now. And what we don't want is, when we wind up looking back at this, have an army of Border Patrol agents that we have on the hook for payments and pensions and everything else. We need to do it judiciously and not in a reckless manner.
Senator, final question here. If the tax cuts are not extended, you will have overseen the largest tax increase that we've seen on the American people. Are you comfortable with that?
I supported the tax cuts in 2017 and still support them. I support making them permanent. I actually accept the argument that if you reduce rates, you can get more revenue. So I support the tax cut wholeheartedly. I've told the president I will support them, but I'm not supporting the debt ceiling. So along with Ron Johnson, we need to separate the bill into pieces. The debt ceiling can be on something with a big government. People can vote for it. But conservatives should not vote to raise the debt ceiling $5 trillion because it's not fiscally conservative. But, yes, I will support the tax cuts, have in the past, and continue to do so.
Do you think you'll get Democrats to support that as well, raising the debt ceiling?
They always have. There's no example of Democrats ever voting against the debt ceiling. They love debt. They're for debt. That's the modern monetary theory is add more debt, and they always vote for a debt ceiling. They voted to increase it in Trump's first term, and they'll vote for it again.
Senator, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks for...
Couldn't have said it better myself. Really, really could not have said it better myself. So wanted to play that bit from Senator Rand Paul, and especially because this reconciliation bill, the one big beautiful bill, is headed over to the Senate. Apparently, Senate Finance Chair Mike Crapo out of Wyoming is going to be putting out some bill text this week. And so always interesting to see somebody out of a place like Wyoming having a big influence on, as the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. And then, of course, Senator Rand Paul speaking there about how he wants to see less spending in this reconciliation bill. And anyway, I thought that was his explanation of where we're at on the debt and stuff was just spot on. Got a message from Joe in Billings. Joe in Billings says, good morning, guys. Just for your information, the National Guard has been called up numerous times in our history in response to riots. First in 1863 in New York City, twice in 1967, most recently in 1992 in L.A., the Rodney King riots. There are not enough FBI agents to deal with large-scale riots. Well said, Joe in Billings. Great point. That sounds exactly right to me. And Donald Trump did authorize sending in the National Guard here, although it sounds like there's maybe only 300 that got deployed, but boy, it was not a pretty scene last night. You look out and they're burning cars. There's cars on fire. You've got a bunch of police vehicles in the streets with broken out windows, and the crowds are standing around throwing rocks at the police vehicles and burning these Waymo electric vehicles. It was bad. It was pretty darn bad. Another sort of story that kind of goes along with what Senator Rand Paul was talking about is this whole idea of the $5,000 Doge checks. And this is something that I thought was sort of dead in the water because I hadn't heard about it for a while. But then just here a couple of days ago, the Daily Signal posted a piece about why House conservatives prefer debt payoff to the $5,000 Doge checks. House Republicans say they'd rather use Doge savings to pay off the national debt than to hand out the funds to taxpayers. Trump had floated giving $5,000 stimulus checks to taxpayer households, saying we're thinking about giving 20% back to the American citizen, 20% down to pay back debt. My question is how likely this is to happen right now. The Trump administration is focused on passing the big, beautiful bill. The White House has no current plans to pursue DOGE stimulus checks at this time. Okay, so Senator Mike Lee said paying off the debt's the highest priority. Let's make tackling our $36 trillion debt. So if you've got the White House, not going after the DOGE stimulus checks, and you've got conservatives in Congress saying, no, we're not sending out checks. If we have any savings from DOGE, it's got to go to pay back the debt. So it sounds like that idea is thankfully dead in the water.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, a one day, you know, kind of back and forth fight between the most powerful man in the world and the richest man in the world. I'm sorry. I'm kind of nonplussed by it, to be very honest. It just really doesn't mean that much to me, and it seems like that's, what about this fight? Hannity, what are you going to do? You got nothing. And I think it's just unrealistic to expect people that are, you know, used to being in charge and getting their way and admitting, like they did a week ago, that they don't agree on everything. They agree about on 80% of things, that they might have a fight.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
The week ahead.
Monday, techies will be turning their attention to Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference. The multi-day event is expected to unveil a number of software updates and showcases new features across a number of Apple products. Wednesday, lawmakers play ball. The annual congressional baseball game raises funds for D.C. charities. The GOP is the defending champion. You can catch the bipartisan action on FS1. Also, New Jersey Congresswoman LaMonica McIver has a preliminary hearing connected to her arrest at an ICE facility in Newark last month. Thursday, the governors of Illinois, New York, and Minnesota will be on Capitol Hill testifying before the House Oversight Committee on sanctuary policies in their state. Saturday, in celebration of the 250th anniversary of the Army, a large military parade will take over the streets of our nation's capital. The parade coincides with Flag Day and President Trump's 79th birthday. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Noble with a K. I'm an attorney in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFA. And open phones here the rest of this hour and all during the 9 o'clock hour, 406-294-0970. You can send me a message on the Montana Talks app. Let me do my global warming story. I've been saving this one up. This one is saw this over the weekend, and of course, man-made global warming being one of my favorite topics and something I've spent a lot of time researching. This was quite intriguing, especially because it has to do with Montana. Okay, this is from The New Scientist. Melting ice reveals millennia-old forest buried in the Rocky Mountains. Trees dating back almost 6,000 years have come to scientists' attention due to ice melting in the Rocky Mountains, offering a time capsule into the past. And this is actually up in the Beartooth Pass on the Beartooth Plateau. A 5,900-year-old white bark pine forest has been discovered due to the melting of alpine ice in the Rocky Mountains. Scientists found more than 30 trees approximately 9,000 feet above sea level, which is about 600 feet higher than the present tree line, while carrying out an archaeological survey in the Beartooth Plateau in Wyoming. They talk about how this offers a window into the past, conditions at high elevations. They talk about how white bark pine does not grow at this elevation today. So these had to grow at a time when the climate was warmer than it is today. Okay. These trees, they analyzed the tree rings, and they used carbon dating to age these trees. They found that these trees that have just recently been exposed due to melting ice up on the Beartooth Plateau lived about 6,000 years ago, a period of steadily decreasing temperatures, according to this article. They say ice core data suggests that the falling temps were influenced by volcanic eruptions. But here's the thing, though, because you might be thinking to yourself, wait, how does melting ice in the Beartooth Plateau that is
exposing 6,000-year-old trees and forest after the ice melts away. How does that support my theory that our climate is not changing solely or even majority due to man-made issues such as CO2? Well, here's what it does. It shows that the entire narrative of the left, of the Democrats on man-made global warming is not true. And it means it's false. Because what their narrative is it's based on that hockey stick graph. If you recall the hockey stick graph where it shows Earth's temperature, and it shows Earth's temperature as a flat line, and then boom, once humans started putting out CO2, it spikes up and it starts going vertical and going parabolic. Well, if the Earth was warmer than it is today 6,000 years ago, then doesn't that kind of mean that their entire graph of Earth's temperatures is not accurate? Because the Earth had to have been warmer than it is today 6,000 years ago for there to be white bark pine forests growing up on the Beartooth Plateau. But it does, of course, it does support the notion that the Earth is warmer today than it was 30 years ago or 100 years ago. But that's what, you know, Democrats and leftists, they always want to try to argue that, you know, man-made global warming skeptics are basically trying to make the argument that the Earth's climate never changes. The Earth's temperature never changes. It's not getting warmer. It's not getting colder. And that's not our argument. Our argument is, yeah, the climate does change. It always changed. It always has, always will. And it is today and certainly getting warmer today. But the issue is number one, is man causing it? Number two, what to do about it? But my point is that if you've got 6,000-year-old white bark pine forest up on the Beartooth Plateau, 600 feet above the current tree line, that means that the Earth was warmer than it is 6,000 years ago. And guess what? We all survived. Everything is okay. It's going to be all right. That's what that tells. The hysteria, the lies, don't believe them. Also, take a look at the sea levels from 100 years ago to today. Also, not that big of a difference.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story of economic growth in communities and regions around Montana goes on, even if very little attention is paid to it. Sure, the occasional bad news story about a closure or shutdown, news on the economy of the state is hard to find. Let's fill that void a little bit with maybe your assessment of how we're doing. Most of us know that Bozeman and Gallatin Valley are pacing growth, but the degree to which that economy is leaving the rest of the state behind is still stunning. Since 2018, the state economy has grown by about 28%, a great performance. Gallatin County's growth is more than double that, over 60%. It might be more surprising to hear that growth in Missoula and Helena are practically equal, right at the state average. With Missoula suffering two separate wood products closures, its continued growth is a pleasant surprise. Two cities that have not kept up with the state average are Billings and Great Falls for a variety of reasons. Visit our webpage to see more. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.